All right, we're going to be in Psalm 33. I've got a lot of scripture verses, kind of a topic message versus a passage, a scripture message. So I did put all the scripture verses up here for you. But we're going to be in Psalm 33 to start with, and then we're going to go right over to Psalm 147. And there's really just 4 points of the message today, 4 different things here in the Bible that are comely, seemly, appropriate, suitable, beautiful, whatever you want to say. Becoming, you know, we can think of the idea of a young girl becoming graceful, and she goes from being just awkward and silly, and all of a sudden she becomes beautiful. Young men do the same thing; they'll become beautiful, but they become, you know, they just start behaving themselves manly, and they just act differently. I heard it this morning. I shouldn't say private conversations because it wasn't directed at me, but you said that Renee said that about Hayden this morning. You know that he's just, she's watching him grow up. He's just growing up. And what she means is he's becoming, instead of being a little boy, he's becoming a young man, you know. And so it's just a good thing to do. So that's a good thing for you to do. So it's just one of those things, you know, that we need to have certain things in our life that, as believers, that are comely. And they're just appropriate, they're suitable, and they're beautiful. And so here's 4 of them today. We might be able to find other things, but these are all based on the same word. I think it's like 10 verses in the Bible. I don't know if I put all of them here because sometimes they repeat. But we'll just talk about these today. One here is praise. Okay, and the Bible says here in Psalm 33, verse 1, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Psalm 147, 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." You know, I want to say this. The Lord ordained that we praise Him. He wants us to praise Him. You know, sacrifice is not just about sacrificing, but it's so that we will praise and honor God the way that we should honor God and praise Him. And so the Lord knows that we need to praise Him. We don't have to tell the Lord He's good, He's amazing, He's awesome, He's the best. He already knows that. We don't have to tell it for His benefit. We have to tell Him that for our benefit. You see, because we don't realize sometimes that the Lord is over everything. He's in charge. He's in control. And we just don't have that understanding to realize that God can do anything. He can lift governments up. He can take governments down. He can defeat armies. He can destroy people. He can build them up. God can do whatever He wants to do. Okay? So we have to remember that we have to have the right attitude of Him in our heart. And praise is a comely thing. It is a suitable thing. It's a good thing for us to do. It's a beautiful thing for Christians when they sing praises to the Lord. Now, some people, not just sing, but talk praises to the Lord. Now, some people would say, well, I'm grateful. I just don't tell the person that I'm grateful. But you know, it's very, very careful. You have to be very careful of that. Gratitude is an internal thing. Praise is an external thing. We're told to praise the Lord at all times. We could look at a lot of things about praise. How about this? Paul and Silas, they praised the Lord while they were in jail. Now, I guarantee you that you don't have to be grateful in order to praise the Lord. So you can sing songs in church, songs of praise, and yet you might be going through things that you're not grateful for. You can say thank you when you receive a Christmas gift for something you're not grateful for. Years ago, I got a purple turtleneck shirt from an uncle and aunt. I said thank you. I wore it once when they came. They didn't remember they got it for me. I look like Barney, the purple dinosaur. I wasn't grateful for it, but I said thank you anyway. See, we are not grateful for everything. By the way, we're not grateful for everything the Lord sends our way, are we? But we need to praise Him. And the reason is because we don't understand. That's why we're not grateful for it. We don't understand why God sent that our way. There are sometimes, as a pastor, you'll have people in church and you're like, I don't know why God sent them to our church. No one that's here, I'm not talking about y'all, okay? I want y'all thinking that, okay? I'm just saying, sometimes you'll have people come your way. We've had kids come on the bus before and I'm like, why did God send them to our church? We've had kids and I'm like, this is mean, this is going to sound mean. But they were so rotten. I was like, would you please just leave? I'm serious. And they kept coming. So then they'd stop coming for a while, and then all of a sudden, we'd go back to their house. You know, I want to check up on them. I don't know why I do that, but I want to check up on them, see if they're still alive in prison, things like that. And I'd go to their house, and guess what? They'd say, yeah, I'll be there Sunday. I hadn't been in a while, but I'll be there Sunday. And then they'd start coming again. I'm like, I know why we didn't, you know, yeah, all right, why did I do that? You know, hey, listen, we need to remember that we have to be not thankful on the inside, but thankful on the outside for the things that the Lord does. See, the Lord knows what He's doing. Okay, He's got everything in control. Even bad things that come along, we ought to learn to be thankful for Him and thank the Lord for, if you can't thank the Lord for anything in your circumstance, thank Him for the grace to go through it. Okay? You know, that's what people miss out on, that I can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthens me. They think that's a cape they put around their neck and then they fly off of buildings. And that actually is, I can go through anything God wants to send my way. I can go through troubles. I can go through trials. I can go through good things. I can, you know, I hear preachers, they go, well, I can't be at that church anymore. It's just gotten too big for me. Let me tell you, you can do anything that God wants you to do. You just have to trust Him. You have to grow. But, you know, preachers say, well, I can't go to a church. It's a small church. You can do anything that God wants you to do. Okay? You say, I can't go through troubles and trials and suffering and go through sickness and have to go through. You can do anything God wants you to go through. He'll give you grace to go through it. He'll give you the strength to go through it. So, but you know what? Learn to praise Him through it. Learn to be thankful for the Lord, for His wonderful presence and His glory and His grace. Not necessarily for the problem, though maybe one day you'll understand why. You know, Job went through tremendous troubles and trials. God never gave him an answer on why, and yet Job praised God. Isn't there a good lesson in all of that for us? You know, we need to learn to praise the Lord. Why should we praise the Lord? Well, we should praise the Lord because He is the Lord. There is no one else like Him. He is the Lord. We've got to praise Him. We've got to praise the Lord because we have reason to rejoice because He redeemed us, if nothing else. He died for us. This week, I pray for my wife and I. We've got a couple different visits to make. One visit we went to yesterday, and I don't really think the one woman wanted us there. So pray for us, because maybe she's not saved. We didn't get to go very far, but the guy wanted us there, so we get a chance to go back. You know, pray for us. We have another visit to make of some people who are not saved or don't know that they're saved. They don't know anything about the Word of God, anything about the Gospel, and so they want us to come over to their house. So pray for us that we'll be able to give them the Gospel. You know, we ought to praise the Lord because we're redeemed. He's died for us on the cross. He saved us. We have a reason to be thankful. Even no matter what other circumstances are going on in life, I know that I have eternal life. And that ought to be enough for me to find a way to praise God and to be thankful for what He has done in my life and will do and will continue to do when my body stops being useful to me. My soul and my spirit will be with Him. So I have reason to be thankful. We ought to praise the Lord because praise is the right thing for God's people to do. Whenever you're in a tough circumstance, a tough situation, always do the right thing. You know, they always say that about the military. You fall back on your general orders. You know, you fall back on the principles. You fall back on your training. When you're at a job, you fall back on the training. Okay? You always do the right thing. If it's questionable, don't do it, right? Do the right thing. So once again, we ought to praise the Lord as a believer. We ought to praise the Lord because it is the right thing to do. We ought to praise the Lord because it's commanded. And, you know, praise is something that is pleasant. And it's better than grumbling. Think about it. If you had to, I remember years ago, the old Adams family, she'd come along and she would cut the flowers off of all of the roses. And all she had was a basket of thorns. Because that's what she wanted. Those pesky roses kept growing on there. She just wanted the thorns. Listen, most people want the flower, not the thorns. Most people want the fruit, not the rot. Now, there's some people up in University of Florida, they let fruit rot so they can put the flies on it so they can study that. But, you know, most normal people want the fruit. They don't want the rot. As a believer, we ought to want the thanksgiving, the praise, not the murmuring and complaining. Okay? And, you know, we have to be very careful of that because, you know, the Lord, by the way, the Lord doesn't mind us complaining to Him. He lets people do that. But He doesn't like it when we murmur amongst ourselves. And that's a real problem. And so we have to learn to be a people that praises the Lord. Okay? Another thing, second thing here. I told you there's four, so this is number two. So that means we have some more. But this is a fast one. Excellent speech. Well, I should say that. I don't know. Excellent speech. Excellent speech is lofty speech. speaking of high things. Okay, look here in Proverbs 17:7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. So a lot of times in Proverbs and Psalms, they do their language as such where it goes opposites, okay? So excellent speech is not gutter talk. It's something that's high and beautiful and lifted up. You know, we cannot have excellent speech, by the way, without the Lord. Look here, look at this. Much less do lying lips a prince. Okay? Now see, this is something we don't understand. See, we've grown so accustomed in American politics to having politicians lie. It's like just you expect a politician to tell you something and then do something different than what they do. Do you know the Bible tells us that a prince ought to tell the truth? Okay? That's shame on us. And a fool ought to speak stupid things. Ought to be a gibbering idiot. But a Christian should have excellent speech. Now, I think a couple things about this. We ought to have lips of wisdom and understanding. And we ought to have lips of truth and justice. Wisdom and understanding. You know, we need to be very... You know, I have a hard time with my mouth. How about you? It wants to speak. And sometimes I just need to be quiet, but I try to say the right things. I want to say the right things, but I don't always... It's hard for me to get the right things out of my head or out of my heart into my mouth. It's hard. Don't any of y'all ever struggle with that? So we have to give our lips over to the Lord and let the Lord make our speech excellent. Let Him give us exactly what we need to say. So we have to be careful. We also need lips of truth and justice. You know, our lips are dividing between people and they're dividing between situations and circumstances. And we have to be very careful not to have a tongue that just flies out and goes out and attacks. We have to have a tongue that looks at things and is very careful and very judicious in what it says. It's a hard thing to do. Okay? Here's another one. This is a good one. I have some things in here from Song of Solomon, so I'm going to explain them when we get to them. This is one of them. This has nothing to do with the message. The only thing we're looking at is the first part. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Remember the thread of scarlet running down from Rahab's house? You know, we ought to have a crimson tongue. We ought to have lips of mercy and grace, of salvation. Right? That's what we ought to do. But so we get to the bottom here, and thy speech is comely. But look at the bottom there. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. I don't know how many times I've looked at Miss Jennifer and said, thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. So I'm going to have to explain this, right? Because this way you can understand. When it's talking about the temples, it's talking about below the temples there, the cheeks. Okay? What he's saying is you have rosy cheeks. Pomegranates inside, they have that reddish color. Right? Reddish and whitish color fruit. So you have rosy cheeks, and you've got hair that goes over top of them and flows around them. That's what he's saying. So you have flowing hair that goes around your rosy cheeks. But isn't it better when you say, thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks? So but that's what he's talking about, okay? So we also ought to have lips that are full of hope, and they're very becoming. You know, and it's a thing of beauty. For a young lady there to have those rosy cheeks and she's got the hair going across there, and it's just a very becoming thing. And she does that for him. My wife said, there's no way any woman would want to have, you know, just hair all flowing around and doing all that just naturally. She says they do that because they want to look beautiful. And so, see, you know, guys evidently do not care. Most of them, right? We just go out there, done. You know? I got this new hairdo. My wife said, she said yesterday, she says, I'm going to try this stuff in your hair. I said, why? Don't put anything in my hair. I'm just fine. I've had stuff in my hair the last 20 years. I don't need anything in my hair anymore. More than that, I've had, you know, I said, now I just, it's so easy. I wonder sometimes, is my hair a mess? No? Is this right? We're good to go. Anyway, you know, we ought to have lips that are full of hope. They're well carried. They're comely. They're beautiful. And we have to be careful of letting the Lord have control of that and allowing the Lord to have, or allowing ourselves to have lips that honor God. Years ago, I was in Bible Baptist Church up in Jefferson City when they were building their new building. And you have to know the people, but you kind of get an understanding of them. But Brother Koontz was there, and his wife were there, and they were showing us around the building when they were still constructing the auditorium. It wasn't done yet. And there was a man in their church that had taken off an entire year so he could build the building. So he was building the building and doing the work, and then whenever he needed help, he would have men come in and do it. And he was a contractor. And so he was doing all the work on the building. But at any rate, they were putting in the color. I don't remember. I think the color was gold or something like that, wasn't it? It was a strange color, and it was gold. It reminded me of the old pews in First Baptist up in Hammond. It was just gold. It was real, you know, gold green color. And it's horrible. But at any rate, it's our church, you know. Okay, but at any rate, we were walking along there, and Mrs. Koontz goes, "I don't know why, you know, they picked this color." You know, she was telling her husband that. And he looked at her quietly and said, "Woman, hush. That's not our business. Hush." And he walked on. He's a military guy. You know, what he was saying is we don't need to get involved in that. That's not what we worry about. Okay? And, you know, that's what we have to make sure. We have too much to do with our mouths that's involved in praising the Lord and involved in being comely and beautiful that we don't need to spend our time by doing something we shouldn't be doing. You know, for instance, I think, and this is not Bible necessarily, but I think it's just that women do things, some women, I'm not talking about ladies, I'm talking about women, they can do things with their mouths that is just doesn't fit. You know, I remember the first time I saw a woman smoking a cigar. I thought, whoa, that didn't work, that didn't fit. You know, a woman chewing tobacco. I remember when I was a kid, the first time I heard a woman, I'd never heard a woman cuss or curse or anything out in public. Women didn't, they weren't supposed to do that. I'm not saying they didn't do it. I'm just saying they weren't supposed to do it. And when I heard her do that, I was like, whoa, you got ugly coming out of your lips. Right? So, you know, how about a believer? Believers ought to have things that are becoming, things that are excellent coming out of our lips. We shouldn't waste our time by being vulgar. We shouldn't waste our time by being mean and nasty. So we have to be careful of that. All right. Anyway, moving along. Delight and honor. And this one's got, I got a lot of verses on this one, but Proverbs 19:10, delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. You have to be careful. You can have people in a work environment and they go from being an employee to being the boss. And sometimes that doesn't work out too well. And so you can imagine that. Well, delight is not good for a fool. Fool doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve delight. He doesn't deserve honor. He's unfit for good things. Proverbs 26:1, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. It just doesn't make sense to give a fool honor. I have people that I want to honor. I want to give them credit for something, but they spend so much time honoring themselves. I just say, "Well, you're doing fine. I'll leave you alone." Don't do that. Honor. It's not good to do that. Okay? A fool's unfit to receive honor. Here's some more in Jeremiah 6:2. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. Okay? And you know what's a shame is. For years, and this, you know, Hollywood has always been evil. Always. Princess Grace of Monaco, she says, Hollywood is a wicked place. They pretend like they're a family, and they're not. Family friendly, and they're not. You know, and she was no angel. I'm just saying, that's what she said. You know, we have to remember that that's always, I mean, we're not talking about the last 20 years. Hollywood's all of a sudden gotten wicked. It was always wicked. Always. Okay? Back in the silent days, they were wicked people back then. So when people try to come along and they look at that, though, here's what Hollywood tries to present. They try to present women and they try to make them, years ago they did. Today they don't care. But years ago, they tried, the ladies were they were supposed to look like ladies. Right? And they were supposed to have an elegance and a grace to them. And they walked along the carpet, and don't they just look so beautiful and so lovely and so charming? It was all fake. All fake. People do that today. They come to church and they try to look, you know, elegant and charming and be something, but it's fake. There are fake people at church. People say, some people say, I won't go to church because there's hypocrites at church. There's hypocrites everywhere. There's people that go to work and they're hypocrites. Right? They tell you, I can do this and I can do that and I can do that. I'm so wonderful. And then they get there and they don't do anything. You know? So we have to think about this for just a second and see that. You know, the Lord likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and a delicate woman. That's what he wanted her to be. I want my daughter to be a lady. You know, she's not there yet. She's still a little girl. But I want her one day to be a lady, you know. I was going to joke with Don about this, Brother Don, but he's not here tonight. So I'll just go ahead and joke with him anyway. I'll tell him about this later. But we were talking last Sunday, I think it was. And Don always is telling me about dogs. I don't know why, but he's always telling me about dogs and how you shouldn't be afraid of dogs and blah, blah, blah. So I tell him, I say, Don, how many dogs have you been bit by? And he never can tell me. He's been bit by three or four dogs in his life. I've never been bit by a dog, you know, but I'm cautious because I don't understand them. You know, I don't know what they're thinking. And so, any rate, as Don's telling me about this, he's been bit by dogs, been bit by dogs, he's been bit by dogs. And I'm saying, well, he says, I understand them. And he says, I know, you know, what the dogs are thinking. I says, okay. He says, I can talk to them. You know, he's telling me all this. And as he's telling me this, Miss Brenda's sitting next to him. He comes along and he gets on this chair and he sits like this. And he's talking. And I'm being honest with you. This is exactly what he looked like when he's doing it. And he's saying, I understand dogs. And I'm looking at him and I'm trying not to laugh because I'm seeing. I didn't want to get him started, so I'm going to tell him. But I didn't want to get him started because he was looking just like a little puppy dog sitting there going, you know, if he was just huffing, it would have been, you know, you have to be careful what you get bit by. You start becoming it, you know. You have to be careful what you listen to, what you hear, what you watch, because before long, you start becoming it. We had a woman in the, she brought her kids in the nursery, and she had to tell them that, you know, Spider-Man wasn't real because her son was running around the backyard trying to get a spider to bite him so he could turn into Spider-Man. He was trying to get a spider to bite him. You know, you have to be careful what you get bit by as a believer. You have to be careful what carries you away. You know, here in Song of Solomon 1:5, I can explain this one to you, too. I have this one on my list. it says here, I am black but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Black, by the way, has nothing whatsoever to do with skin color. It doesn't do with prejudice. If you read in the book of Song of Solomon, you'll find out that the woman here, her sisters were jealous of her, and they kicked her out in the field. They wanted her to go out there and work. And because of that, she was suntanned. That's what they call suntanned, is black. So that's what it's talking about there. In other words, she was a hard worker. How many of y'all are hard workers? Right? You get worn out. Any of y'all can. Mrs. Bass comes along, and sometimes, you know, you have to understand this. Mrs. Bass comes along, and she hurts. It hurts her to walk. So she comes along and she comes in sometimes and she walks and I just feel the pain for her. And you know what she'll tell me? She'll say, all those years of watermelons. I feel sorry for Mrs. Bass having to go out there and get watermelons. And those things are not light. And she sold those for a long time. And not only sowed them. Okay? And then she reaped them. And then she sold them. And they had to go out there early in the morning and get the watermelons. And they had people working for them too. But that's hard work. And you know, Mrs. Bass, when you see her walking around today, you understand that that's because she hurts. Now, here's the thing. Mrs. Bass hurts from working, but she can still be comely. See, she still has a smile on her face. She loves the Lord. She loves missionaries. She prays for people. I told her, and I don't know why. This is something between that she's made with the Lord. She's told the Lord that she is going to pray on her knees, and she prays on her knees. That's what she's decided with the Lord. I don't pray on my knees, but she prays on her knees, and she says, I have a hard time sometimes just getting up. I said, Mrs. Bass, I said, why don't you not pray on your knees?
And she says, because I made a promise to God, as long as I could, I would pray on my knees. Sitting there and I'm thinking, whoa. And I guarantee you she does not pray short. I guarantee you, I know the people that she cares about and she prays for them. She prays for them and she begs the Lord for them. And you know it's possible to be worn out and still be comely. You ever feel like that? Like you've been put to the fields and you've been worked hard and you just don't have any, but you can still be comely. You know, that's delight and honor. I think that's a beautiful thing to be able to be like that. You know, here's my thought. Carry yourself in a way that is worthy of honor and blessing. You know, most of the time, characters, it's either the sum of a man or it's the average of a man, you know, but that's what people think about a man, is the character of him and everything else. But you know, unfortunately, a lot of times we're not judged by the sum of who we are or even the average of who we are, but we're judged by one event, one entry in that book, and people will label you forever because of that one thing. That's a shame, isn't it? It really is. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't focus upon that. Here's another verse in the Song of Solomon. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Tirzah was a beautiful city in the land of Israel, Jerusalem, beautiful city. And the Bible says this, terrible as an army with banners. Isn't it good? Alex, you're the only one here who got a girlfriend. So, you know, you look over at Kristen. You're sweet talking to her. You're talking about pomegranates and locks and things like that, right? Okay, now, I don't want to know. But you look over at her and you say, you're as terrible as an army with banners. You're a terror. That seems like a funny thing to say. Boy, they talked funny back then. You know? You could get away with murder back then, couldn't you? But no, think about this for just a minute. An army is a terrible thing if you're on the wrong side of it. It's a terror. But it's terrible in a different way if you're on the right side of it. Isn't it good to be on the Lord's side? He is terrible, but He loves me. He is strong and mighty, but He's loving to me. I used to have a kid in Sunday school and Sunday school class when years ago, and I wish he was at church now. But anyway, his name was Anthony. He was tall. He was big. I mean, everyone's taller than me, but I mean, he was not just tall, he was big. And I used to tell him, I'd say, I want you to be my bodyguard. I get in a tough situation, you'll be able to take whoever comes at me. You know, we have to be very careful to be on the right side of the Lord. I think of this sometimes. I have certain things that happen and I say, okay, I don't know why I still do this, but I still sit back and say, okay, how am I going to be able to figure this out? You know, how am I going to be able to figure this out? What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? And it's as David said, it's too wonderful for me. It's too big. You know, I can't compute what's going on. I can't figure it out. My thought always goes back to that reoccurring thing. If I can't figure it out, I'm going to just pass it along to the Lord. You know, but, you know, our problem is, and I didn't say this inside, but I said it outside this morning, so I don't think any of you were outside to hear it. So, you know, our problem is like casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, that verse also is talking, though, about humbling yourself. You know, one of our problems is we want the glory, but we don't want the work. We want God to do everything, and then we want to look good. And you know, honestly, if we're going to cast all of our care upon Him, it needs to include everything, including the glory. Thine is the honor and the glory and the power, the might, the majesty. Everything belongs to the Lord. And so what we ought to do, we ought to spend most of our time, all of our time that we can, giving the glory to God. When you think about that, Everything the Lord does good in your life, just turn it around and give God the honor and the glory for doing it. Okay. Anybody that the Lord wants to can do anything that the Lord wants them to. The only one that's important is the Lord. God used birds to feed Elijah. God used a donkey to talk. You know, you sit back and say, oh, how wonderful I am. Listen, it's not me, it's Him. And it's not you, it's Him. God, let's give God the glory and the honor that He rightly deserves. And to do that is something that is praiseworthy. And then, you know, we ought to be a terror to those who do wrong. I tell you, God's people ought to make people feel bad, look bad, when they don't do what's right. You ought to be honest at work so that the horrible employees look bad because you're honest. You ought to take a bath so that stinky people, they know who they are. As a Christian, you ought to be clean so the dirty people look dirty. I like it when people apologize to me for how they talk. I like it that I make them feel uncomfortable. It used to aggravate me. I had a guy at work, and he worked in a different department. He always called me preacher man. It was kind of aggravation because of this. I didn't know why. It was disrespectful him for him to do so. He was making fun of me. But you know what? I liked it. One day I came to work, and some of the guys were talking about something or doing something they shouldn't have been doing. And they said, Mark. They called me Mark. They said, Mark, just keep on going. I said, yes. See, when I got there, they tried telling me their dirty stories. I didn't want to hear them. Now they know I don't want anything to do with them. And I made them look bad. See, be a terrible as an army with banners. Do you know the banners part? Just understand this. You only put banners out if you want to be clearly recognized for who you are. You know, this has nothing to do with the message. It's not in my notes. But can I just say this? There's people out there today, and they said, if you want to impress the world, you've got to, ready? You've got to look like them, act like them, live like them. Where is that in the Bible? We're supposed to have a banner waving out there and telling them who we are. I had another message that I was prepared to preach called, if they're going to burn you, they're going to burn you anyway. Let me just tell you. They hate your guts. The world can't stand you. It doesn't like you. It has never liked you. Satan has hated you from the very beginning. He hated Adam. He hated Eve. And it's just continued on. He hates Jesus Christ. He hates God. He's a hateful of anything that's good. And the world that follows Him, they're doing the same exact thing. You say, what should we do? Get a banner for the Lord Jesus Christ and raise it up. You say, well, they don't like the word. They don't like the Bible. Take a Bible and stick a Bible in your truck at work. Read it, but stick it there where they can see it. Tell them I'm a Christian. There's a little girl, she was tortured to try to get her to recant her faith. And after torturing a 16-year-old girl all night long, she was finally ready to die. They whispered and they said, please, just recant and we'll kill you quickly. And she said this, she says, I am a Christian in whom is no guile. And they said the torturers began to weep when she said that. She would not recant anything. And she died. I'll tell you one thing. I know who picked her up in heaven. That girl had a banner. She had a banner for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I think that we ought to have some Paul and Peter and all those guys. I think they ought to come back today and just tell us what they think of Christianity today. What do you think they'd say? They fed to the animals, had stoned. They got stoned one way. We got other people getting stoned a different way today. Bunch of drug-cultured Christianity we got today. You gotta look like the world and act like the world. That's going to terrify the world, isn't it? Ooh. We all get together at church and we all sing the same songs the world sings. Ooh. And Satan is just quivering in hell. Well, he's not in hell yet, but he's just quivering, isn't he? Oh, hell is shaking today. Someone sang AC/DC songs at church. Who's defeating whom? Go out there. Get yourself a banner. You don't have to have I'm with Jesus tie. You don't have to have an I'm with Jesus t-shirt. I'm saying go farther than that. I'm saying live like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, walk like a Christian. Let them know that you're a Christian. Let them know that. You know, we need to be an army with banners. That's what we need. That our young people need that. They need to live for God and let people know they're living for God. And they need to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And me making a decision for you doesn't mean a thing, but you got to make the decision for yourself. You got to have enough self-respect for your own life, your own character, your own body to be able to say, you know what, I'm a Christian. Live that banner. You adults working, you got to do that. You retirees, you got to live that way too. You do. We live in Sin City. The villages. Sin City. They go down to their little housing, what do they call it, roundabout things, and they all dance and drink. And then they want to go to church. They don't want to go to church here. We got to have a banner that tells people who we are. We're still Trinity Baptist Church. We're not going to become a Trinity Baptist, leave off the church. We're not going to become a Trinity and leave off the Baptist and the church. You say you can attract more people. What I could attract, I do not want. I've seen maggots before. That's it. Number four. We need to become like our Savior. This is Song of Solomon. It's hard to understand sometimes if you don't understand that it's a bride and a groom, and there's a chorus of ladies singing in it. So it's hard to understand sometimes if you don't realize who's talking to whom there. But this part here, this is the bride singing to the groom, like the church singing to Christ. Oh, my dove, for Sarah. Oh, my little pigeon. Okay. All right, there we go. Dove, pigeon, same thing. She's found the joy of watching Pepe Le Pew cartoons. He says, oh, my little pigeon. She does that. She's never going to forgive me. But anyway, she likes it. Okay, look at this. That art in the cleft of the rocks. You good, Sarah? No more sharing stories? No? Okay. All right. That art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Now, these things don't always make sense to us. Once again, this is another one. But you think about this. Here is a place in the rocks. The rocks are a place where you'd hide. Gideon hid in the rocks there. Remember, he hid behind a wall. You hide in a place. David hid behind the rocks. Okay, hidest me in the cleft of the rock. Moses was hidden in the rock. The Lord covered him with his hand, didn't he? Hidden in the cleft of the rock. It's a secret place. It's a secure place. I want us to think of four different parts of our Lord that are comely today. Part of one thing here is the hidden place, the secret place, where we can go to and be with the Lord. They're in our heart. You know, today, you have couples here. You know, we have some couples here. We have married couples here. We're only one person's here. We have some couples here and things like that. And you know, I can know people. but I don't know them like their spouse does. They know the hidden part of them. And you know, the world knows of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus like we ought to know Jesus. Paul said, that I may know Him. You know, the old song was written, more about Jesus. Right? The old song, tell me the story of Jesus. Right? Or how about this one? Tell it again. Tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Here's a little gypsy boy dying at the close of day, right? What does he say? Tell me, tell it again. Tell it again. Tell it again. I just want to hear about Jesus one more time. Oh, it's a beautiful thought to know that we have a hidden place in the garden. How about that song? I walked in the garden alone. And He walked with me. And He talked with me. Oh, that's a beautiful song, isn't it? There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. God calls it in His Word, His secret place. He puts us in His secret place. The Bible tells us that the Lord has a name for us that no one knows. I really believe, and I know that this doesn't make any sense to us today, but you know, there's a DNA number for you. It's really, 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 really long. And the more they find out about DNA, scientists used to think that DNA was, you know, they were getting pretty good. The more they find out about it, the less they know. You know, honestly, all God needs to put you back together again is your DNA. He just has to know what your name is. And do you know that the Lord knows your DNA? I'm not talking about they can, you know, do one of those blood tests on you and find out where you came from and things like that, and they may have like a DNA number. It's much more complicated than that. The Lord has a name for you that is who you are. It tells Him everything about you. Just like, you know, on my driver's license, they got one of the swipe cards. On your credit cards, there's a little swipe bar. It has all sorts of information on that. But the Lord knows everything. And you know, the Bible even tells us that He's put His law into our heart. Now think about that. You know, I mentioned this a while back. They actually, scientists, I don't know how they do this, but they found a way to insert written words into a person's DNA. Not a person, they do it with animals. I don't even know how you do that. But when I read that, you know what I thought about? God put His law into our heart. When the Lord one day, when He gives us a new body, I believe we'll have His Word in us. It won't be something that we think about every now and then. It'll become who we are. We'll just know the Word of God. We'll know Him. We'll know as we are known, the Bible says. We're going to know about Him like He knows about us. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to start on day one and say, let's sing every song we can think about concerning Jesus. And 10,000 years later, we'll still be singing about Him. And we'll still be praising Him. We'll still be honoring Him. And we'll still love Him as much as we ever loved Him. And we'll love Him even more. And it'll just be so wonderful. Because we've realized how comely He is in that secret place. And also, the Bible talks here about that place of the stairs. You know, there were rocks in Israel, and they actually had steps in those rocks. Just natural steps. That makes it where you can climb up little pathways. I think God does that for His people. You see, that's a geological event. Caused by the flood, by the way, but I'm not getting into that. But you know, that's a geological event. Yeah, but you know, God controls things. And there He was, when He had everything collapse in a certain way, when the water went down, they were little stair steps. So they could go up there. You know, and the little lambs could go up to one little step, and then they could go up to another little step. There's a place to graze, and it was all safe and protected. You know, the Lord has a way of ascent that is special for us. He takes us and He lifts us up to a rock that is higher than I, the Bible says. We ought to thank God for the way of His ascent. And we ought to thank the Lord here. It also says, let me see thy countenance. Okay? That's when people understand. I just want to see your face. You know, people ought to realize that there's a beauty that one day we'll see him. You know, that beautiful song by the blind girl, Fanny Crosby, blind lady, right? I shall know him. I shall know him by the prints in his hands. When she saw them, I want to see my Savior first of all. You know, I talked about the people crying when they saw that painting this morning, but I tell you what, we're going to cry when we see the real Jesus. When we see him. So we ought to remember that we can see the Lord. Also, the hearing of our ears. We want to hear his voice. We want to hear it. I have this happens all the time. It's an amazing thing. It happens at preacher's fellowship. We'll go to a preacher's fellowship, and one preacher will preach something, and then the next preacher will preach something, and the messages go together. And one of the preachers, last time, I said, you know, I like going first. I was just telling him, I said, I like going first. I said, you know, when you go first, you don't have to worry about anyone else preaching what you preach. You just get up there and say what you're going to say. And he said, well, no one's going to preach what I preach. I'm like, yeah, I think of myself, yeah, wait and see. I said, they're going to go together. And he did. He preached a message, and the other guy came along, and he preached a message, and they just went together. It's amazing when that happens. We had that happen here at our fellowship where dad preached on something, next guy preached on something, next guy preached on something, and it was just as if they all just matched up right along with each other. And you just say, that's wonderful when that happens. I have this happen when I'm preaching different messages, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to preach this message, and I'm going to preach this message, and I think about them separately, but when I go to preach them, I realize, whoa, that message goes along with this other message that I'm preaching. I didn't even realize it. Sometimes it happens when I'm preaching and then what they're singing. Not always, but I mean, sometimes there's not a message in the ghetto. But it's amazing how it just fits together. We were talking about it earlier because Hayden, evidently, he preaches things sometimes and it's like, well, I talk about it and I don't know what he's going to say and he doesn't know what I'm going to say. And we just say something and it goes together. It's almost as if we listen to the Lord, we hear the same voice. Ha ha. My sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. Paul said, I beseech you in Christ's stead. Think about that. What he's saying is, as I listen to the Lord, he said, follow me as you follow, or follow Christ as you follow me, but you follow me as I follow Christ. You know, that's what we do. We listen to the Lord. We're all going the same direction. You know, they did that with the ark. They all followed the ark, but they couldn't all see the ark, could they? So they followed someone who was following the ark. And they followed someone who was following 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 the ark. And they followed someone who was following 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 the ark. You say, how'd they all stay together? They had banners. Follow a banner, folks. Get behind the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear his voice. What a wonderful thing is to hear him, to see him, to know the way of his ascent. Okay? It's a beautiful thing. We need to make sure that we are comely Christians. And we need to follow the Lord, and we need to do the things that ought to be beautiful in our life. We ought to be comely in our praise, comely in our excellent speech, comely in our delight and our honor, and we ought to be comely because our Savior is comely. We ought to try to be like Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Would you join with me tonight just saying, you know, I'm going to have the comeliness of praise in my life. I'm going to have beautiful praise. I'm going to have excellent speech. I'm going to have something in my life that's worthy of delight and honor. And I am going to be more and more like Jesus. The Lord has spoken to your heart about that. My wife plays on the piano. Would you just come down here and pray and talk to the Lord? Yield your heart and your life. Let him be beautiful in you.